Good morning, Broadway family and friends. I pray that you had a productive and healthy week. And I just want to share a personal note. There's an old adage that says that absence makes the heart grow fonder. Nothing could be closer to truth than that. I just love you all so much more now than I did when we were together. And I really, truly loved all of you when we were together. So time is on our side. Stay faithful, stay in prayer, and we'll get the all clear in short order. And when that happens, we can come back together again and be the loving family we truly are. Today's lesson will be about worry and anxiousness. And I've titled it, Be Anxious for Nothing. Now, the primary sources for today's lessons are, one, the Holy Bible, NIV, and two will be Caring for People God's Way, Dr. Tim Clinton, and Biblical Counseling, Drs. Tim Clinton and Ron Hawkins. And these are some of the counseling professors that helped me in my academic pursuits in terms of study and developing a degree of understanding of what the Bible says and what the psychological papers and textbooks read about the human condition. As we continue our scriptural study of these troubling times regarding the uncertainty of life issues and the coronavirus, which has so upended all of our lives, we must humbly go to our Lord for his peace. In these times, it is only the peace of the Lord that will satisfy. Now, our anchor text for this particular lesson comes to us from Philippians 4, 6, and 7, which instructs us to be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving. Requests will be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. The key to this lesson, to be anxious for nothing, it's about worry and anxiety. And we'll look at it from both a biblical perspective and a psychological perspective, anxiousness and worry. Paul certainly had plenty of reason to feel anxious. Sitting in a Roman prison, he did not know if he would be released or put to death. Writing to the believers in Philippians, however, he urged them to be anxious for nothing. Do not worry. Anxiety and its companion, worry, do their best to immobilize believers. People are anxious about the future. They're anxious about events that have not happened, but could happen. Anxiety causes many physical problems also. Anxiety also makes people fearful and distressed. What can believers do about anxiety? And we want to cover that today. Paul gives this answer: in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. With thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known to God. Go to God in prayer. God's peace is beyond comprehension because it makes no sense. The circumstances seem to require anxiety, but instead we feel the peace of God. Let me repeat that. Instead, we feel the peace of God when we go to God with those things that causes us anxiety. When we give our anxiety to God, he replaces it with his peace that surpasses all understanding. God's peace is beyond comprehension because it makes no sense in a sensical world. Circumstances seem to require anxiety, but in spirit, we feel God's peace. When we feel anxiety rising, we should turn to God in prayer. Here, He will give us the peace He promised. He is our refuge, our place of peace. When times are turbulent, it is going to God that gives us the peace to carry on. In his book, Understanding Anxiety, Archibald Hart wrote, "Anxiety disorders are the most common emotional struggles of today, affecting some 20 to 30 million people. Why such a dramatic rise in the incidence of anxiety disorder? Well, in a nutshell, many people live too disconnected. We're disconnected from each other. Even in families, we're many times disconnected. In the church, many times, we're still disconnected, although physically here. We carry too much debt and live at a too fast a pace. Let me share this with you. People were designed to travel at a camel's pace, slowly. But we behave like supersonic jets, running constantly on a supercharged stream of adrenaline. People end up paying for this abuse with fear, worry, and anxiety. Let's examine those three. First, fear. Fear is a natural and necessary alarm system that is triggered whenever we feel threatened. This God-given emotion ignites a response to a real or perceived danger, such as running into a spider web. The fear response imagines the spider biting, so the body is put on alert. The experience of the fear is very real. God has created us to think and feel fear, and provided the fear is justified, it's perfectly normal. This can lead to protective behavior. People also feel fear over imagined possible outcomes. Imagining what the outcome may be and have it as distasteful, unwarranted, and unwanted. Though the list is potentially endless, some common fears include losing a child, losing a spouse, a job, or our health, being shamed or humiliated in public, being rejected, fear of falling or succeeding at something, fear of dying or dying painfully. Others face phobic fears, for example, fear of heights, fear of tight places, fear of the dark, fear of an audience. These are all fears that we bring upon ourselves. Let's look at the issue of worry. Worry is not an emotion, but a mental activity that produces anxiety. Let me repeat that. Worry is not an emotion, but a mental activity that produces anxiety. This type of stinking thinking is an unhealthy and unreasonable exercise that attempts to solve situations beyond our control. Let's think of the logic of that. If a situation is beyond our control, how would we solve it? Those situations beyond our control are those that we need to enlist the aid of the Lord in His guidance. Instead of praying or simply letting go of things that cannot be controlled, worriers obsess about controlling the problem, talking to themselves about how terrible it is and how unfortunate they are, and imagining all sorts of horrible results if the problem is not solved immediately. Over enough time, some people believe that if they worry hard enough and long enough, their worry will somehow solve the problem. It just doesn't happen that way. The other area we wanted to look at is anxiety. Anxiety keeps a person from relaxing, from resting, from sleeping. It is a pervasive, long-term inner feeling of nervousness, unrest, and uneasiness. Anxiety symptoms can include things such as tense feelings, rapid heartbeat, dry mouth, increased blood pressure, feeling faint, excessive perspiring, and anticipation of trouble. Everyone experiences some types of anxiety, but frequent and intense anxiety may indicate a clinical diagnosis and a treatable disorder, and we need to be aware of that. An anxiety disorder can be sudden and unexplained uneasiness that lasts a few hours, or it can be a constant state. Simply wishing the symptoms away will not work some form of troubling anxiety. Generalized anxiety is described as a pervasive form of chronic tension, manifests itself in many different situations. When it exists longer than 6 months or so, it is diagnosable as an anxiety disorder. Another is phobia, or fear. Fear strongly associated with a single object, place, or event. Obsessive-compulsive disorder, OCD, is fear hidden behind a variety of obsessions and compulsions. Ritualized repetitive behavior like constant hand washing, those types of activities. These maladaptive patterns are attempts to manage anxious thoughts and feelings. Another area we wanted to cover today was post-traumatic stress disorder. You're familiar with that. You hear a lot of that in terms of people who've been to war. As a result of being victimized or even witnessing a traumatic event, recurrent visions or dreams and memories of the trauma induce fear and are relieved in debilitating ways. First recognized in prisoners of war, PTSD, or post-traumatic syndrome, is now seen as a common experience across all ranges of traumatic life experiences. Physical and sexual abuse, natural disasters, injuries, accidents, etc. All suffer, in many instances, some degree of post-traumatic stress. We are also confronted on a daily basis with what we call panic attacks. Now, that's the sudden onset of panic, is an overwhelming state of anxiety being flooded and paralyzed by the flight or fight response. Symptoms include racing heartbeats, perspiration, dizziness, ringing in the ears, choking, and vertigo. Physiological reaction to panic so strong that the panic sufferer often imagines that he or she is having a heart attack or going crazy. Agoraphobia, the fear of returning to the people and places where the panic occurred. At its worst, the sufferer ends up housebound, fearful of panic away from home, and excessively vigilant. More than 3 panic attacks in a month, or the onset of agoraphobia, produces horrible results, and it indicates a disorder that needs professional treatment. Scripture and anxiety. Scripture and anxiety. Many Christians think that God condemns all anxiety, and by implication, then, he also condemns those who suffer with different forms of it. Here, certainly, Scripture condemns a form of anxiety. Jesus said, "Let not your heart be troubled." John 14:1. Let not your heart be troubled. Be at peace, be at rest. Referring to a form of anxiety that has been with us for all time, that anxiety is worry. Jesus' familiar expression, "Take no thought for your life," refers to anxious worry. In the Sermon on the Mount, he calls attention to the destructiveness of anxiety about the future, Matthew 6, 25 to 34. His teaching is startlingly clear. Such worry is pointless and unable to help solve the problem. No worries and thought about tomorrow can help people live better or keep evil away. Worry, then, is not an emotion, but a pattern of thinking that takes hold when people try to live independent of God. You see, we have a refuge to take the issues that are beyond our capacity, take it to the Lord and turn it over. And when I say turn it over, I don't mean partially. Show your faith, give it to the Lord, and he will give you a way. Unless fear, worry, and anxiety are honestly faced and worked through, people can end up in a pattern of avoidance, organizing their lives around people and situations that they must avoid. It is much healthier to practice another pattern. And let's look at the other pattern. First of all, 1 Peter 5 and 7 says, turn to God first. Turn it over to the Lord. Focus on the solution, not the problem. Matthew 14, 22 and 23. Focus on the solution, not the problem. By focusing on the problem, you weigh yourself down to the point that you can't resolve the issue. Stop wasting energy on worrying. Stop wasting energy on worrying. Matthew 6, 25, 34. Keep your thoughts on God to have peace. Keep your thoughts on God to have peace. Sometimes we become so overwhelmed by whatever the predicament or issue is that we forget about God, and therein lies our peace. Keep your thoughts on God to have peace, Isaiah 26 and 3. And then in Philippians 4, 4 through 9, pray. Pray, pray, and pray. Direct your attention toward your true source of hope, Psalms 91 and 2, the true source of hope. For God is still in control and is waiting patiently for us to be of a mind that we cannot handle everything that life turns our way. We need his guidance. We need his companionship. We need his love. Again, direct your attention toward your true source of hope, Psalms 91 and 2. I've listed a couple of other scriptures that can be helpful in times of stress, in times of confusion and uncertainty, as these times are that we're living through now. Deuteronomy 31 and 8 is a good reference. All of Psalms 23. Psalm 103. Psalms 121. Psalms 146. Other meditation verses that you can utilize, and it's ready for you in your Bible, waiting for you to open it so that it can give you the peace and the relief you really need. Isaiah 41, 13. Isaiah 44, 2. 2 Timothy 1 and 7. Other meditations. Hebrews 13 and 5. And lastly, 1 Peter 5, 7 through 11. Hopefully this lesson will allow you to take control of any anxiety you may have about the times we live. Because remember, regardless to what happens, God is still in control. God is still the one we go to for our relief. God is still loving of us and caring of us, but it's our responsibility to reach out to him, to submit to him, to be there when he brings the help or sends the help to you. Being receptive to the word of God. Being receptive to those whom God has appointed there to be his person for you to go to. Should anyone want a copy of this particular lesson, do not hesitate to email me or give me a call, and I'll email a copy to you. As we close now, may God continue to bless you and give you what you need to be whole and healthy during these turbulent times, because peace is at hand. We're all going through a trial, and it becomes incumbent upon us to show our faith by how we live, how faithful we really are, that God is in control, and to not doubt that he will care for his own. In Jesus' name, amen.